you are just joining us for this series, we are in a series called Playground, and welcome to the playground this morning. As you noticed when you came in, you passed through the tunnel, almost somebody called it the tunnel of doom earlier. It kind of makes you think you're going into a haunted house or something. But it's actually just a reminder that we're going to experience the playground together this morning. This morning, we're going to be talking about some aspects of the playground that I know that I always enjoyed as a kid. I have, thanks to our incredible set and design team, a seesaw, as you can see here, fully functional. I don't know that they want me to get on it, but we have it. And then we also have our merry-go-round, and that's a beautiful thing as well. So I'm pretty excited about that. We're going to talk about those things. I don't know about you, but my memories of hanging out on the playground or a kid are actually pretty good memories. Except there is this one time that was probably one of the most embarrassing experiences in my life. I remember there was this park that was about 45 minutes away from our home. It was kind of reminds me of like Cheatham Dam or something where you go and there's some playground equipment, but it was by a body of water, a lake and whatnot. And we would go over there and it was by Kentucky, like this when we lived in Western Kentucky. And I was probably, I don't know, probably 7 years old or something like that, and maybe even smaller than that. And I remember that particular day, my family had gone. It was like Memorial Day or Labor Day or something, and everybody was out. And so a lot of people, even people that I grew up with, like friends of mine and their families, also happened to be at the park this day. Well, we went to the park, and we're hanging out at the park, and I vividly remember everything that I'm about to tell you about. It's so incredible, like some things you just remember so well. And what I remember is that a bunch of my friends were there, and we were hanging out, and although our families had come separate, you know, we were all grilling out separately or whatever, we were coming together on the playground to play. And part of coming together on the playground was one of my very favorite things, the merry-go-round. And the merry-go-round, I loved the merry-go-round, loved it, loved it, loved it. And as I was looking at the merry-go-round and my friends were like, man, you gotta get on the merry-go-round because such and such is spinning the merry-go-round today. And I don't know who they were talking about, but some guy that apparently was like a hero amongst playgrounds with little kids or something. But he was like this really old teenager or something, you know? And like we were like, whoa, he's so cool. And he was willing to spin the merry-go-round for all the kids that wanted to get on it. And this dude was, I mean, he was stacked. I mean, this, no doubt, you know, he was lifting and all this stuff, and he was just a beast. And he was, sure enough, he was out there, and he was spinning the merry-go-round, and I was like, man, I want to ride with him. And so the kids were like, oh, man, you know, just be careful, you know, you got to really hold on. And I was pretty little, and I remember climbing onto the merry-go-round, and I remember, like, some of the bigger kids that were on the merry-go-round looking at me and saying, you better really hold on here. This is not, you know, like typical merry-go-round ride that you're about to experience. And I'm like, okay, whatever, you know. And so, like, you know, I'm clenching onto this bar or whatever I'm doing at like 6 or 7 years old. And this guy begins to spin us. And he is spinning the merry-go-round. And I'm not talking about like just some little spin. I mean, he is throwing it down. And this thing is flying. And I remember as it began to get faster and faster and faster and faster and faster and faster and faster. And I just remember holding on and just thinking, I'm not going to be able to make it to the end of this thing. And sure enough, at some point in the middle of him standing there and just ripping this thing around as fast as he possibly could, guess what happens? I go airborne. Just right out there into the field, into the grass. And of course, there's like rocks and sand everywhere. And I just, all I remember is just flying and just boom, hitting the ground. And I think that was like the first time I'd ever had the air knocked out of me. And I just remember laying on the ground. I was like, I'm going to die. You know, and I thought, man, what in the world is happening to me right now? And of course, like everybody stops. Everything stops. The guy stops the merry-go-round and he's very concerned. And he's very cool about, you know, in fact, I remember him like picking me up and taking me over to my parents and stuff. But I remember, you know, just thinking, oh my gosh, how embarrassing that was. and thinking about, you know, all of my friends seeing me flying off the merry-go-round. You know, for so many of us, we spend a lot of our life on a merry-go-round. This morning, we're going to be talking about temptation. We're going to be talking about sin. You're like, oh, man, why has he got to talk about that today? Well, I got to tell you, this is one of those things that I struggle with just as much as any of you do. And as you've heard me say before, I am preaching myself today as much as I'm preaching to anybody. And I just pray that God will allow me to be used in your life. Maybe something that we're talking about this morning will hit home. A lot of us spend time on the merry-go-round. We spend time giving in to the temptations at hand. And we're just like, you know what? It's just a whole lot easier just to give in to those temptations and let's just ride the merry-go-round. Let's just keep spinning and, you know, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. I'll still go to church. I'll still pray, you know, whatever. But what winds up happening is we just continually spin and we don't ever go anywhere in our spiritual walk. You see, a lot of Christians and a lot of non-Christians have this mental image in their mind that they are supposed to eventually arrive in their Christian walk. I talked to everybody that we have led to the Lord in the last month, which has been a cool dozen as of this week, which has been incredible. We've had 12 people come to Christ in the last month. And in talking with all of those people, I've told every one of them, look, this is going to be a journey. This is going to be a process that you are going to experience coming to know Christ. Number one, you're going to come to Christ, but then after that, growing in your relationship is a process. It is a journey. And for many of us, we think that eventually we're going to arrive and we're going to become super Christian. And I'm here today to tell you that you're not ever going to become super Christian. But you can grow a lot in your relationship in the journey. For so many of us, we quit on the journey because we would rather ride a merry-go-round. I want to share some scripture with you. If you've got your Bible with you this morning, we're going to look at the book of Matthew chapter 4. And this is one of my all-time favorite passages of scripture. Matthew 4 gives us some insight into seeing Jesus himself having to deal with temptation. Check this out. In Matthew 4, verse 1, it says this. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Imagine that. Verse 3, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Let's keep going. Verse 4. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, Satan, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and all of their splendor. And all this I give to you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. We see Jesus get tempted three times right here by Satan. And people say, well, he's Jesus. Well, yeah, he is Jesus. But I want you to keep in mind here that Jesus was fully God and fully man at the same time. I know people have a hard time figuring this out and understand this. It's biblical truth. It's all over the Word of God. And I'm just telling you, it's like the same as, you know, Transformers being a truck and a robot. So just go with me on that, all right? And so Jesus being fully God, fully man, is still having to deal with the things that we had to deal with. And God purposefully wanted Jesus to come and have to stand to the test of things that we would have to go through. You know why he wanted him to do that? So that he could set an example for us in how we live. It's very simple. Well, in these three temptations, we see Jesus dealing with Satan in some incredible ways. And I'm telling you, I know that there's not a one of us in here today, and if you've got yourself sold on that you're just doing fine, you have been caught in a lie Satan has sold you on, and you're believing the wrong thing. I'm here to tell you today that every single one of us in here is struggling with some kind of sin. We are all struggling with some kind of temptation. So what do you do about that? How do you overcome the temptation? So many of us are stuck right in this rut of the merry-go-round, and we're saying, God, there is no way possible that I can get off this thing. I am not going to be able to get out of this sin. It owns me. You know, the truth is, a lot of us, we would like to think that we own it, but the truth is we don't own it. It owns us. When we allow it into our lives, it becomes a controlling factor. But in the process of being tempted, we have power over sin. We can say no. I want you to see what Jesus does. We're going to look back at this. Let's just look back at this. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." You see, Jesus had done a great thing. Number one, we see that he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. What do you think he was doing there? Do you think he was just like, you know what, I just feel like going out in the desert and just hanging out and not eating for a while? No. Jesus understood the need for us to spend time with God. And Jesus did that here. And Jesus just came off 40 days and 40 nights of spending time with God. He himself, the Son of God, went and spent time with the Father. If that doesn't tell you how important it is for us to spend time with God, I don't know what is. And number one, right there, is the number one thing that will help us to overcome temptation. Let me tell you what, I had somebody sitting in front of me last night. And they know the Lord, and they were crying. They were just all tore up. And they were tore up because they've got all this stuff going on in their life right now. And I just looked at this person, and I said, "Man, where are you at with the Lord?" And he just started breaking down. He's like, I'm not spending any time with him. I'm not worshiping him. I'm not even involved in church anymore. And I just looked at him. I said, "Man, you've got to get that right. And until you do, nothing is going to fall in line." You see, the playground that God has given us that we know as earth, we have a limited time at recess. We only have so much time. And so it is so important for us to figure out the very best ways to overcome the issues of life, the temptations that get thrown in front of us, because the more that we can get over and overcome those things, the more time we have to do God's work. I know a lot of Christians that have no sense of urgency in their life. I got to tell you, I am sense of urgency. Paul talks about running the race. That's why 24 Church exists. That's the bottom line to me. You can cut it however you want to, but when I thought and prayed and said, "God, I know you want us to start a church, but I don't know where," we started here because I felt like here was where we could do the most damage for God's kingdom. This was it. Between all these cities and the need for a church like this, I knew that God could use us. And I got to tell you, the urgency that is in my heart is an urgency that is constantly reminding me that one day the bell will ring and recess will be over, and we've got to do as much as we possibly can right now. That's it. I don't know about you, but that urgency drives me. It drives who I am. It changes my heart when I dwell on it. And when I let God just really work on me about that thing, I'm telling you what, my priorities go all around different than what I would want. Jesus understood that you need to spend time with God. Number two thing about this particular point when he's being tempted that I think is important to point out is that this is the very temptation that so many of us deal with all the time. This is a temptation of desire. He was hungry. 40 days, 40 nights, not eating, hanging out with God. And then Satan comes along and is like, "Hey, turn those rocks into bread. If you're Jesus, course, Jesus is like, no, I'm not going to do that. In fact, Jesus says, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Number one, right there again, Jesus is pointing you back to spending time with God in his word. Comes from the word of God, the mouth of God. This is it. This is what we've got. Jesus was being tempted in something that we're tempted in all the time. He desired something. We all desire things. You know, and if you look up in like a thesaurus or something, the word desire, what other words come up with that? Lust, wanting, those kinds of things. Any of those ring a bell with us? Sure they do. Spend time with God. Spend time with God. It's so important. Your walk is just going to flat stink unless you do. I mean, that's just it. It's bottom line. Verse 5, I want you to look at this with me. It says, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourselves down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered to him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Once again, Satan is working at Jesus on one of those things that, to be honest with you, a lot of us deal with. You know what it is? Pride. Pride. Especially with adults, pride is one of those things that it just will just own us if we let it. I mean, it will just take a hold of us, and we're constantly worried about what other people think and what other people are going to do when they find out this thing or that thing, or they understand this thing or that thing. You know, Jesus right here, being, you know, standing up here on this deal, you know, Satan is once again saying, hey, Jesus, if you think that you're the deal, then you jump down from here, because it says back in Scripture that if you do, you know, the angels are going to, you know, catch you and protect you, and you're never going to hit a stone and all this stuff. And Jesus looks at him and says, no, no, I'm not going to do that. You don't own me. Jesus understood that his pride was not worth showing Satan up. For a lot of us, we deal with this on a constant basis in so many different ways. We could talk about pride all day long. But you know what you're prideful about. You know what that is. And let me just remind you, Satan knows what it is too. Satan knows our weaknesses. And if you're prideful about something, guess what? Satan's going to attack you. He's going to use that against you in your life. It's going to happen. Absolutely 100%. Listen to this. It's going to happen. So what? So what do you do? Well, you get ready. You spend time with God. You be ready. Be on the defensive. Be ready for it. Verse 8, third temptation. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give to you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Now, in this particular temptation, this is another one of those that we deal with. Isn't it just amazing that Jesus went through things that we deal with? How incredible is God to think of that? Jesus is dealing with one of those things that we deal with all the time, and you can put it several different ways. You can call it materialism. You can call it your worship. We'll just call it our worship. What gets your worship? Because in this moment in time, Satan is basically saying, you know what, Jesus, I just give it all to you. All you got to do is bow down and worship me. And Jesus looks at him and says, Satan, you're not going to win this one, because I'm not worshiping anybody except the Father. I'm only going to worship God. Even Jesus understood that his worship, the only thing that was worthy of his worship, was God. And so Jesus told Satan, not going to do it. You see, Jesus went through these things for us to understand that we too can have a grasp and we can have some control over these things if we know Jesus Christ and He lives in our heart. God has power over those things. And I'm here to tell you today, if you don't know Christ, you don't have power over sin. You don't have power over sin. And some of you may be sitting here today, and you may have been sitting in churches all your life. And you may be saying to yourself, well, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm doing well. Well, I got another passage of Scripture I want to read with you. It's 1 Corinthians 10. You can check it out on the screen if you don't have your Bible. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 and 13, just two verses. It says, so, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be. For some reason, mine's cut off here. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. That passage of Scripture in verse 12, that very first verse, is warning us. It's saying, warning, if you think you've got it all together, guess again, you don't have it all together. You see, for so many of us, we're like, you know, well, I've gone to church, and I've done this, and I've done that, and I prayed this week, and, you know, all these things. And we start adding up our sacrifices to God. Check out Isaiah 1 sometime. Read that entire chapter and see what happens to you about your sacrifices to God. And you'll see just how worthless they really are. It humbles me when I read that passage of Scripture. And in that passage of Scripture, it brings to the point that when we think that we are doing God a favor by doing these things for Him, that's not what He wants from us. He wants us to do out of the joy of our heart. He wants us to give out of the joy of our heart. You've heard me say probably before, you know, even when we've passed the offering or something, you know, if you're here today and you're giving and you're bitter about giving your money, then hold on to it. I don't want you to give that money if you're bitter about giving it. Give it because God has blessed you and you want to in turn do what He's asked you to do. For so many of us, we think that it's about arriving. We think that one day we're eventually going to get there. And what is true is that all of our life we're going to struggle with temptations like pride and lust, and what is getting our worship, what is the most important to us right now? God wants your worship. And not only does God want your worship, but He also wants to have control over these things in your life. But you know what we've got to do? We've got to let Him. And it's just like any good relationship that you have with anybody. If you don't spend time with them, you don't know them that well. The more you spend time with God, the more you're going to know Him. You see, the journey is not about a merry-go-round. The journey is about the seesaw. Today is seesaw day. You thought it was merry-go-round day, didn't you? But it's not. It's seesaw day. You see, the thing I always loved about the seesaw was to get, like, you know, some little puny girl on the other end and, like, get a bunch of me and my friends on the other end and, like, you, like, stick her up in the air. And, of course, like the big playground ones, you know, they're, like, way up there and they're like, let me down. That was the deal. And that's what we would do. It was fun. But the seesaw is a balancing game. And I want you to understand today that you have a choice in your life right now. And the choice is this. You can ride the temptation and the sin in your life and just say, you know what, God, you know, I just believe probably not ever going to overcome this thing. And I'll just spin and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. What's going to happen one day is you're going to get thrown off. If you go ahead and make the decision to turn from that sin and come over here and get on the seesaw and say, you know what, God? I know it's going to be up and down. I know there's going to be days that I'm going to fall. I'm going to fall. It's going to happen. but I'm going to get back up. And it's a balancing game. And the journey is about playing the balancing game and fighting the fight against sin. And if you're willing to fight the fight against sin and seek the Lord with all your heart, I'm here to tell you that the seesaw ride is incredible. And it's nothing like you ever experienced on any playground as a kid, I can tell you that. But through this, through getting to ride the seesaw of life and willing to be up and down and up and down sometimes and hopefully more up than down, but there's going to be times of down, it's a whole lot better than just giving in and riding the merry-go-round. The journey is about the seesaw. Don't ever think that you have arrived. That passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians 10:12 tells us, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. But the great thing is, the beautiful thing about that passage of scripture, the last part, verse 13, it says, but God won't give you anything you can't handle. But that's dependent on you knowing Him. Do you know the Lord today? Have you ever given your heart to Christ? You may look at this and say, I don't know if I want to go up and down the rest of my life. I don't know if I want to fight the fight the rest of my life. I don't know if I want this sense of urgency hanging over my head all the time. I'm telling you, I couldn't imagine it any other way. And that's just coming from me, but you talk to a growing Christian and see what they say. See what their life is like. And even in the worst of times, to know that God is with you, to know that He is protecting you and guiding you and providing for you, it's incredible. I'd much rather do it with Him than do it on my own. You've got a choice. Merry-go-round or seesaw. The walk of a Christian is about the journey. It's about the journey. Let's pray together. God, I just thank you so much, God, for your word and how clear it is in speaking to our hearts. God, I just pray that, Lord, in the next few moments, God, we're going to worship you in several ways, through giving and through singing and all these things. God, I just pray that you would take our worship and, God, that it would be pleasing to you. God, I pray right now for the people right here that I know are probably dealing with some sin, probably dealing with some temptation. Lord, I pray, Lord, that today they would throw those things down. God, and not park themselves on a merry-go-round, but take a journey on a seesaw. God, truth is, you know, seesaws don't really go anywhere but up and down, and God, you have so many places you want to take us on a journey. But God, it helps us to understand, God, that you want us to follow you, and that it is going to be a ride. And it's not always going to be the same, and God, we thank you for that. But God, just protect us and guide us. In it, God, if there's anyone here right now dealing with a sin, God, that they think that they can't overcome, God, they're right. God, just remind them that you can. God, remind us that you overcome sin. Lord, we love you and we thank you this morning for what you're doing in this place. In your name I pray, amen. Before I walk out, I just want to let you know I'm going to be hanging out in the hall. And if you're unsure of whether or not you know the Lord today, I'm going to be hanging out there for you. If you know you don't know the Lord today, I'm hanging out there for you. I want you to be able to walk away this morning, know that you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. I don't care how long you've gone to church. I don't care who you are in the community. I could give a rip. All I care about is whether or not you know Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that's all God really cares about. He wants to have a relationship with you. Don't turn away from that. Turn to Him.
I come to the garden alone, but I do. It's still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever sound of his voice is so sweet. The birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing.
Would you stand and sing with us?
And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever.